Our scripture will be found in the gospel of, or not the gospel, I guess it's the gospel of Psalms, chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. And the words will also be appear on the screen as we are reading Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. And this is what David writes in that 13th Psalm. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to journey with me for just a few minutes this morning as we consider the theme for our text is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Everyone from time to time needs someone they can trust in. We need someone we can count on when we find ourselves trapped between that proverbial rock and that hard place. It could be something as simple as our car breaking down while we're on our way to someplace important and we can't wait 2 hours for the tow truck to come. It may simply be that we're burdened with a heavy load and we need someone we can talk to so that after we tell them, we know with confidence that it won't be on the 5 o'clock news. At times, we may find ourselves in a world of trouble, and what we need is someone who's willing to be a neighbor to us and rescue us from whatever dilemma we find ourselves in. And for most of us, those times when we need help, help is there. We can find that we find trust in our family or our spouses and maybe those as a close relative or our BFF, our best friend forever. But there's a different level of truth required when it seems like our lives are crashing around us, when it seems that the stakes have been raised from the simple acts of assistance to those times when we're in trouble and we need more than a friend. Well, David has written a psalm, and this time David is in trouble. He is in serious trouble, and he was counting on someone who would do more than help him. David needed what we all need. He needed someone he could trust in, and the person he could always count on was the person who was always there in the past. Now, while it's not difficult to tell, we aren't given a clue about what it is that's specifically troubling David. Not a word is mentioned about what has brought him to this point of despair, but the very nature of his words indicate that he is in deep water. His questions, oddly enough, aren't directed at his enemies. He doesn't ask his enemies how long they intend to agonize him or antagonize him. They've been on his case relentlessly, and in his mind, they have brought him near to death. And so while they may have the power to end their assault, it seems unlikely that they will do so. So instead of directing his pleas toward the enemy, begging them to stop, he directs his questions to God. He doesn't seek an answer to his questions. His questions are rhetorical in nature. They clearly reflect the anguish of someone who has reached the end of his rope. An inner turmoil of his condition has driven David to disorientation, and so this psalmist is prepared to lay the blame for his condition squarely on the shoulders of God. In this song, it is God who has forgotten him, who has hidden himself from David. And when God is absent, there is confusion and disorientation. Now, to accompany God's absence, the psalmist feels pain and sorrow. But his pain is triggered by his own sense of embarrassment of what his enemies will say when they believe they have prevailed against him. It's all about his embarrassment because his faith will appear irrelevant and empty. And you know what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. You know how it is when you brag on someone's faithfulness and their trustability. You've told everybody how trustworthy they are, but just when you need them, they're a no-show. You know the embarrassment that follows when the person you've trusted in appears to be untrustworthy. Somewhere there has been a rift in David's relationship with God, and it's now in crisis. And the fact that his enemies seem to be currently winning the battle is only symptomatic of the bigger problem. David never entertains for a moment that his trouble comes from guilt or failure. The trouble comes because of God's irresponsible absence, and that, at least in David's mind, God has failed to keep the covenant that God made to stand by his faithful. David admits that he doesn't know what to do. He has reached the point of utter despair. He's feeling both helpless and hopeless that anything in his life will change. And there is no way out unless he can trust God to come and save him. He essentially says, they're killing me. They're walking all over me. He may be willing to acknowledge this God as his God, but more importantly, he appeals to God's partnership in his defeat. So the problem not only is David's problem, it is God's problem, because if God's partner is ridiculed, so then is God also ridiculed. And both he and God end up looking foolish. And then the psalmist is left to wait. He doesn't say that God gave him a speedy reply, or how God answered, or even if God answered. It's as if he's left alone to ferret out the answers for himself. And then, as if he's been shaken to his senses and his memory has been jogged, he comes to himself. He's left proclaiming that he recalls his past relationship with God, and that gives David new confidence. He's forced to remember all of those old feelings and experiences that have come to him on the eve of his destruction, when God was the only assistance he knew. And he recalled and remembered and said, but I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Well, the psalmist David has written his words of anxiety on the pages of religious history for all to see. And according to David, there were times when it seemed that God didn't live anywhere in the vicinity of his heart. There were times, according to David, when darkness and despair were his closest friends. There were times when it seemed like you could hear that old song from Hee-Haw, gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And if you find your self-confessing that all that's true, Brother Pastor, what's that got to do with us? What does David's problem have to do with us? And of course, my answer is easy. And the answer to the question is everything. It has everything to do with us. You see, brothers and sisters, today we are at the same place in our lives as David was. The events in our lives are playing out with incredible similarities. It's almost like the Yogi Berra quote, it's deja vu all over again. It's like we've been here before. I would imagine that some point in our lives, we've all felt that our world was crumbling around us and that God was nowhere to be found. Perhaps it was bad news from the doctor that only got worse. It could have been a marriage that suddenly turned sour. It could have been the betrayal of a friend who took us to the edge of despair. It could be conscientious efforts by some people to make us, our history, the freedoms, and the culture irrelevant again in our day and time. And while we were searching for God, crying out to God, waiting for God to substantiate our faith, all we could hear from God were crickets. When we looked for a light at the end of the tunnel, there was a small light, but it was usually a freight train coming our way. When we waited for the storm to come to an end, there was only more rain. When we needed someone to come to save our day and we cried out to God, it seemed as if God couldn't be trusted to be there. I don't believe David's situation was unique to him. And again, our cry goes up to our God because we feel we're being ignored. And now it appears that our enemies are encamped around about us while God and the rest of the world have left us alone to deal with our problem. There will be no Calvary to come and save us. And the one person in whom we've always placed our trust, and the one whom we thought we could always count on, seems to be MIA, missing in action. And now, like David, our song has become a song of disorientation because we've been here before. We've been here before where the cries of our suffering have gone unnoticed and unremembered, and God seems to have forgotten us. And so, like David, we cry out, how long? Oh Lord, will you forget us forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemies will say, I have prevail. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But still the voice of God is silent, and we don't understand. We've done what the songs of our faith have urged us to do. We've taken our burdens to the Lord and we've left them there. But still, there's no answer from the Lord. We're down in the valley of the shadow of death, and disorientation is setting in because God seems to be unreachable. All around us, we hear the cries, here we go again. We could have written this 13th Psalm ourselves, and now we must wait. Like David, sitting on the brink of despair, we must wait. And so many times we have to wait on the Lord to answer. We look elsewhere for a solution, but we must wait for God to answer. And in that deafening silence between our cries and God's reply, we have to wait because we need someone we can trust in to save us. When the world seems like it's crushing in on us, when trials are dark on every hand, when our enemies are encamped around us, we need a savior. Superman on his best day couldn't do the job we need done for us today. We need a savior, someone we can trust. When it looks like the only way out is the way we came in, we need a savior we can trust. When our old enemy, that old enemy life, has called for the victory cigar and begun to celebrate our defeat, we need someone we can trust to save us. And like David in our waiting, we discover a great truth. We've already got someone we can trust, a Savior we can put our trust into, someone we can trust and someone who is trustworthy. It's the Savior we've had all the time. That's why David finally realized and said, but I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And therein is our confidence, brothers and sisters. We, like David, can be confident because we realize that God's never-ending love has always been trustworthy. The same God that has delivered us before will not leave us now. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. For the promise of God has assured us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's why that old songwriter wrote the words, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you." Brothers and sisters, we've already got someone we can place in our trust in, and God has blessed us richly. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a story. It's a story about a psychologist named, a French psychologist named Henri Nouwen, and he wrote a book once called Sabbatical Journeys. He writes about some friends of his who were trapeze artists called the Flying Rudellas. And they told Henri that there's a special relationship between the flyer and the catcher when they're up on this trapeze. He said the flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one that catches. He says as the flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes when he must let go. He arcs out into the air, and his job is to remain as still as possible and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck him from the air. One of the Flying Rudellas told Henri Nouwen, he said, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but the flyer must wait. And that's the way it is with our Savior and us. We are flying through the air without a net, and it's impossible for us to catch God. God must catch us, and God will catch us. God may not come when we want him, but we must wait. Because we can trust that God will come right on time. God is there to save us, not when we want to be saved, but when we need to be saved. God is there to save us, not when we cry out in despair, but when we pray out of our hope. God is there to save us from our old disorientation to a new and aware orientation. God wants to save us so that we will know that we can trust in God. Because God wants us to trust God, to depend on God, to wait on God, to rely on God, to know without a doubt that God is the one who saves us. So when we find ourselves between that rock and that hard place, brothers and sisters, let us not despair when dark shadows come. When we need a Savior, just remember, as sure as there is a shadow, there is a light close by. And as David wrote in another song, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they will stumble and fall. And our light is the light of the world, from whom no person or deed can be hidden. When we call upon the Lord, we can trust that God hears us, that God sees us, and trust and know that God will save us. Our God is the only person that we can trust to save us. And that's the word of God today for the people of God.